good evening. Tracy and Marion send their best to you. Tracy's doing better every day. The antibiotics is kicking in on the infection, and he's doing a lot better. People have been asking, are they able to visit? And the answer is yes. He is at St. Rose San Martin over off of Warm Springs. If anybody's interested in going and seeing him, he's in good spirits and getting better every day. So let him know we're all praying for him and send our best. We are in the book of Jeremiah again tonight. We're going to be looking at a couple of concepts starting in chapter 29. Going to look at a few verses here, starting in verse 11, if you wanted to follow along. The passages will be on the screen. It says, and this is one of the sweetest passages to me in the Bible, where it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Number of different thoughts here. The first one there in verse 11, how God loves us. You know, I think of John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Well, here, God is telling Jeremiah, he says, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you, the thoughts that I think, that are in my mind toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I vainly, and this is just so lacking, I think of us as individuals, the love that we have for our loved ones. And sometimes they only have a clue of how much we love them. And God is telling us just how much he loves us, that he has plans for us. He has plans for a future and a hope for us. And he goes on to say in verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." What a comforting thought there. That when we go to God, and that's part of faith. This is a good definition of faith. That when people go to God in prayer, they're not just spinning their wheels. They have an expectation that they're being heard. And God will listen to us. God the Father, God the Creator. And he always does. And in verse 13 it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And that's one of the keys right there. God wants us to search for him with all of our heart. In Deuteronomy, what was written here in Jeremiah wasn't a new concept. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." God doesn't should not get our leftovers. Well, God, I got to do this. God, I got to do this. God knows that. You know, we've got to work. We've got to eat food, to stay alive. But God knows that. But he wants us to go after him with all of our heart, to love him. Not as leftovers, not only if I will love you, God. We sang a song just a while ago, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But do we give Jesus our leftovers? I will love God unless the cost gets too much, unless it takes too much time, unless something better comes along. I get an opportunity to do this or to do that. Or if I'm distracted, if I get distracted in the world, as we talked about this morning, if the world distracts us and pulls us away, God wants all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Doesn't mean that we can't do other things. He wants us to fulfill our responsibilities as husbands, as wives, as mothers, fathers, as employees, things like that. But he wants us to follow him with everything we've got. Jesus said something very similar on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus had just been talking about people that worry about what they shall wear, what, you know, where are we going to get the food and all this stuff. Jesus says, seek first. God knows that we need those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these earthly necessities we'll get. In Hebrews 11:6, the Hebrew writer says, "But without faith," kind of going back to the basis of everything we do is faith. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Not just kind of stumble upon it, not hear bits and pieces, but diligently seek him. In Jeremiah 31, verse 33, I kind of connect this to the one we had just looked at. There's a little connection here. Verse 33, it says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Again, this shows the love God has for his people, the plans that he has for his people, and that it's special, it's unique. And he's made a covenant, and God's not going to break that covenant. We sometimes break covenants, but God's not going to. And the difference here is a difference of attitude. God's going to put that law in their minds. Not just memorizing scripture, But it will be in their minds. It will be on their thoughts. And he will write it on their hearts. It will become them. The Jews, that they many of them would put the scriptures on their forehead and tie it on, and put it on their wrists and tie it on to where, but that's just an action. You know, we can claim we go to church. We come to worship assembly every Sunday. But we could be going through the motions. God wants it on our heart for us to be here emotionally, spiritually, not just showing up and checking a box. And because of this, he says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's special. Peter says something very similar. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. At one time, the Jews were the special people. It's now been opened up to everyone. Not everybody could be in the priestly class. Only the tribe of Levi. And even then, not everybody of the tribe. But Peter says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. There's a lot of verses in the Bible. This is one of them that gives me great self-esteem, reaffirms my worth to me. No matter, you know, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to sit down in the middle of the road and eat worms. You know, not with this verse. Things could be going terrible everywhere around us. But this verse shows how much God loves us. The plans he's had for us to include us, Gentiles, as part of his people, as part of his plan. And he kind of gives an aftermath of this, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness, out of darkness into his marvelous light. How could we not proclaim this greatness of God, who's made us a special people, who has planned this from the beginning? It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't just something we stumbled upon. This was part of God's plan from the beginning, to have people love him and open it up to all. And these couple of verses here in Jeremiah really explain that idea of how special we are and how God loves us and the plans he has for us. And it makes me not only want to proclaim the praises of him, but to live up to those plans he has. To not let God down. God has plans for me. He has plans for you. And I want to make sure I don't let him down, that I fulfill the things that God has for me to do. And it to be in my heart and in my mind, not just going through the motions. Because we are his special people. We're going to end there tonight. There's the next time I speak to you, there's kind of a whole different train of thought that some verses look at. And this is kind of the few verses we looked at tonight are kind of in one school of thought. But we're going to end here tonight. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation through prayers, through baptism, I think just most everybody in here has put their Lord on in baptism. But if you need to be baptized, if you need prayers of the congregation, we'll be glad to pray with you, for you, and do what we can to assist you. If there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, don't wait any longer. God has plans for you. Repent of those sins. You cannot fully serve God with sin in your life, trying to fulfill the plans He's got and dragging that sin along behind you. You can't efficiently serve God like that. If there's sin in your life and you need to repent, repent of sin. Whatever your need is, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation, and let's